extremely lengthy. Could you explain what you want me to do?
Our client looked up.
Mr. Holmes, she said, Mr. Carr is in considerable personal distress. He badges me both at home and at work with attempts to make contact with me. When I can no longer avoid him, he reads to me from this large and growing typescript. He is aging before my eyes, and I feel the authorities he describes in this text are making his life impossible. This is rebounding onto me to such an extent that I have been constrained to take steps to avoid him altogether, and accordingly I have asked a friend to share my room in the hope that Mr. Carr will leave me alone when he sees I have company. At the same time, he writes about authorities I do not recognize, but which seem to have a power over him, such as that a state might have. I feel this matter should be raised with someone in authority, but I do not know with whom.
Miss Brusher, you place me in a very difficult position. On the one hand, you have no evidence that any real crime is taking place, or even that any of the events you talk about occur anywhere except in the imagination of Mr. Carr. On the other hand, your fellow lodger's writings suggest some gigantic conspiracy, though one of which I know nothing beyond what you have read out. You say that Mr. Carr is oppressed by an authority which you have never heard of, and yet suggest that this case may be something for the authorities. I suggest, as the entirety of your concerns rest with this tome-like typescript, you leave it with me, and I will go through it thoroughly. I will revert to you when I have formed a plan of action, should one be required. What did you make of her, Watson?
Holmes asked thoughtfully after our visitor had left. I ventured, pleasant, respectable, pretty, smartly turned out, and deeply disturbed by her fellow lodger, before a snort from Holmes brought me to a halt.
Really, Watson, how often do I have to remind you to look at detail, and not merely state vague and, if I may make so bold, rather subjective impressions? The lady is obviously disturbed by the attentions of Carr. That is precisely what she said herself. But you are failing to look at the minutiae that demonstrate it, and which illuminate other things about her and her surroundings. The streak of powder by her left ear, just where the light caught her, shows both her interest in theatre and her distraction in that she failed to remove it. The speck of brick dust on her blouse, just above the waist, shows it has been hung out of the window to dry, and thus that there are no clothes drying facilities at their lodgings. When you see an otherwise orderly person failing to remedy such flaws in their appearance, you can be sure that their attention is focused on something outside their normal sphere of activity.
And what do you make of her problem?
My first idea was that it was some vulgar, romantic intrigue, as Carr always seems to accost Miss Brusher when she is on her own. The content of the typescript rules that out, however. No man would seek to make love to a lady by reading a document suggesting he was subject to a persecution by an unknown authority, let alone detailing weekly visits to a lady who only receives visitors in bed during the day. At which point, you will note, I called Miss Brusher to a halt. I will have to dedicate further attention to the text that Miss Brusher has brought.
And rather to my surprise, Holmes abandoned his chemical research, and for the rest of the day said not a word to me, as he sat hunched in his chair, turning over the pages, puffing at his hookah, which was his closest companion in his moments of deepest introspection.